Welcome to Let's Talk ETFs. I'm your host, Jonathan Liss, and I've been closely tracking the ETF space for more than 13 years through a variety of roles here at SeekingAlpha.com. Each week, a different guest and I will take an in-depth look at a particular aspect of the rapidly evolving exchange-traded fund space, with a focus on how investors can best utilize ETFs to reach their investing goals. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer. This podcast is for entertainment and educational purposes only. Nothing said here should be taken as investment advice. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the individuals expressing them alone. A full set of disclosures will be included at the end of this show. You can subscribe to Let's Talk ETFs on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. For reference purposes, this podcast is being recorded on the afternoon of Tuesday, January 26th, 2021. My guest today is Greg Friedman, Head of ETF Management and Strategy at Fidelity Investments. Many of you will be familiar with Greg from episode 50 of this show, ETF Investing 3.0, Alpha Seeking Active Equity. That episode first aired in July 2020. For anyone that hasn't already given that episode a listen, I highly recommend you go back and do so after this episode. In his role as head of ETF management and strategy at Fidelity, Greg is responsible for the development and execution of Fidelity's ETF strategy, including product development, management, and positioning. Additionally, he leads the ETF services group supporting ETF operations and management across the organization. Before joining Fidelity, Greg was chief operation officer and head of global ETF product at Russell Investments. Before that, he held various roles at Barclays Global Investors, including head of global iShares relationships, head of product for US iShares, and senior portfolio manager. He earned his Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of California, Davis. Anyway, enough of an intro. Let's get into it, Greg. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm glad you were able to rejoin me so quickly. There's definitely a lot to discuss around semi-transparent active ETFs since you first rolled them out in June of 2020. Before we jump in here, though, I wanted to just take a brief moment to thank Fidelity for once again sponsoring Let's Talk ETFs, and more importantly, for being at the forefront of ETF investor education. There's really very few firms that have shown Fidelity's commitment to making sure investors are given the best possible chance of reaching their investing goals. For that, I think we all owe you a debt of gratitude.
Thank you.
When we last spoke in early July, there was much excitement around Fidelity's launch of the first three funds to utilize Fidelity's proprietary semi-transparent active ETF formula. It wasn't yet clear, though, at that point that investors would embrace this new type of ETF. Looking back 7 months later, clearly they have. First of all, we've seen more than $300 million in assets flow into those three funds. You have one ETF in particular, the Fidelity Blue Chip Growth ETF, ticker symbol FBCG, that has already surpassed $200 million in AUM. The other two funds, the Fidelity Blue Chip Value ETF, FBCV, and the Fidelity New Millennium ETF, FMIL, have also gathered assets at a very nice clip out of the gate. In terms of your expectations going into the launch of these funds in June 2020, how would you characterize how things have played out in terms of the first 8 months or so since launching?
Thanks, Jonathan. We're pleased. You know, this is a long-term goal and game. This is not going to be measured in weeks and days, but months and years. It's a new type of product. It's a relatively new industry in terms of the active equity ETFs. And it's going to take time for the marketplace to develop and educate its users on how and what these are. So out of the gate, we're pleased. As you mentioned, you know, we have some good volumes in all three products, you know, especially Blue Chip Growth. We're almost 240 million as of today, and we're trading over 200,000 shares on average per day. So that's a good amount of liquidity, resulting in obviously, you know, very tight bid-ask spreads across all three products. So out of the gates early, we're pleased. I know that some of our competitions launch products and they're doing very well in addition. So we're pleased because the ultimate goal is how do we as an industry, and in particular Fidelity, really bring these new funds and new technology to our clients?
Yeah, certainly. And in terms of who you're seeing investing in the new funds so far, and particularly in terms of the mix between retail and institutional investors, How would you say this compares to your more traditional lineup of index tracking ETFs? And then along the mutual fund side of things also, how have you seen that shake out relative to that?
We had expected that the early adopters of these products would be direct investors or individuals, as well as small advisors and the RIA community. And that's exactly what we've seen. Out of the flows, probably approximately 80% are from direct investors that really appreciate and know the Fidelity brand, the Fidelity heritage of active investing. And the rest have been on the advisor and RIA side. In terms of larger distribution platforms that we all know very well, in terms of, like, example, home offices with Wells Fargo, Merrill Lynch, UBS, Morgan Stanley, et cetera, those are just gonna take a little more time. These are new products. So those organizations need some time to figure out, you know, how do they look at them? How do they rate them? How do they do the right thing for their clients in terms of protections and information? So we knew that out of the gate, it would be the individuals and direct and advisors. And then as they got more popular and these had some track records and some history that, you know, the wirehouses could look at in the home offices, those would come online, but we knew that a little bit down the road.
Now, I can tell you on the Seeking Alpha side of things, just in terms of seeing your funds held in user portfolios on the site, we obviously can't release too much specific information there. We have brokers syncing, but I can tell you that the funds have picked up nearly 1,000 followers on the platform between the three of them, which is usually a strong indication of direct investor interest in them. So definitely something we're seeing on our end also. I have to imagine one concern within Fidelity when you were thinking about whether you wanted to go in this direction would have been, at least theoretically, the cannibalization of your own active mutual fund assets in favor of what are, I think, somewhat lower cost alternatives here. Has this theoretical concern played out in any way in the real world or not really?
Well, it's a good question, and I think a lot of firms, you know, wrestle with this notion. We have not seen any significant cannibalization, and we've had several years and several different examples to have the experience around. First was our sector funds. We have a very broad, successful heritage of active sector mutual funds, and when we launched our sector ETFs, we did not see a cannibalization there. In fact, we saw a rise of both tides where people were investing both in the mutual fund and the ETF. We had another case example when we launched our first three active fixed income products. Once again, we did not see any significant cannibalization of those products. And even though we've only been in this sector with the active equity ETF about 7-8 months now, once again, we've not seen significant cannibalization. I would say the cannibalization percentages, I can't give you specifics, are well under 5%. And an interesting number that crossed my desk a couple of days ago was, in fact, the amount of households that are buying both the active equity ETF and an active mutual fund is up 15%. So we think this is, you know, in response to the fact that Fidelity is really committed to being wrapper agnostic, that we want to bring our best of Fidelity, regardless of the wrapper, to our clients and offer our clients choice, value, and innovation. And I think that plays into it. And I think the other important fact that, you know, must not be overlooked is the user of a mutual fund is different than a user of an ETF. Both are valuable clients to the firm. In a lot of cases, the mutual fund does operate better than an ETF, depending upon the platform and the type of client. So we're not concerned about the wrapper. We're concerned about what's the solution underneath and how do we solve our clients' needs and let the client choose the wrapper. But because of our experience and because the ETF user is very different, it's in some ways a new client to Fidelity, and I think the rest of the industry would have the same experience that we do. It's really an additive and really allows us to bring, once again, the best of Fidelity to clients, regardless of the wrapper.
Yeah, sure. So I'd like to get a bit deeper into the kinds of details that I think at least you read some people expressing apprehension about before this new type of active ETF came out. How's the liquidity been? You referenced that a little bit. What do typical intraday spreads look like specifically?
Sure. And, you know, I'll give some general guidelines. You know, it's always, you know, there's some, you know, adjustments based upon asset class and the type of vehicle. But in most cases, you know, people think of ETFs as being liquid, the ETF itself, once you start trading more than 25,000 shares a day. And in our case, the last 20-day volumes, the blue chip growth is over 200,000 shares per day. blue chip values at 50,000 shares per day, and new millennium is over 30,000 shares per day. So that's, you know, very liquid. Now, we all know the true test of liquidity is the underlying, because as long as the underlying is liquid, you can always buy and create and redeem new shares, which keep that premium discount of the spread tight. So that's really the real measurement of liquidity, but people do also focus on traded volume of the ETF. So the trading volume, as I just went through, are all very strong and impressive so far. In terms of the daily spread, we're probably on average 5 cents or less per day on each three funds. So once again, you know, very tight spreads. Our execution capabilities at Fidelity for our clients and our platform with zero commissions has been very good. And I say as a whole, you know, because I think about the industry, I'm proud of being part of the industry since 1996, you know, all the products in the space have performed well in terms of trading and liquidity. So, you know, people were concerned, was this going to be an introduction to large spreads or dislocations or trading anomalies? And Fidelity clearly is not. Our products have done very well, but so have our competitors, which is really, you know, the benefit. And, you know, as we think about the macro ETF industry, it's a good thing for end clients.
Yeah, certainly not. And, you know, not to denigrate any competitors, but occasionally you see with some smaller niche issuers that they don't necessarily have a relationship with the market makers or authorized participants to be able to make sure that that liquidity is there at the early stages of a fund launch at the very least. But obviously that's not an issue that would have affected you guys. So yeah, definitely something that I think investors don't need to spend too much time thinking about at this point with these products. So moving over to the performance of these funds, it really has been quite good so far. And I'm going to read it out, as I'm sure you're not allowed to talk about it due to compliance reasons.
Thank you.
So we're talking 6 month total returns for FBCV of 24%. I pulled these a couple of days ago, so nobody should hold me to exact numbers here. But 24% on FBCV, total return of 30% on FBCG, and 26% on FMIL. This compares to total returns of just under 18% on the S&P 500 or 20% on the Russell 1000 over the same period. And of course, nobody should fixate on performance, either outperformance or underperformance over a short time period like this. But that said, what do you attribute the performance of these funds to so far?
It's the ability that Fidelity has and our fantastic portfolio managers and research departments to be able to provide outperformance. You know, we believe in active management. We believe that the environment that we're in today really leads to successful active management. And, you know, the managers we have managing these funds are also managing the corresponding mutual funds that have a great track record, great heritage. So, you know, we're very pleased that we're able to bring our clients the performance numbers that you read off.
Since we last spoke back in July, there have been some new developments in terms of the licensing side of Fidelity's approach here. So people may have noticed, first of all, that Goldman Sachs has licensed your technology. I don't believe they've rolled out any particular products with that licensing yet at this stage. Invesco has also licensed it, and they've actually rolled out two funds. That was in December of 2020. The Invesco US Large Cap Core ESG ETF, ticker symbol IVLC, and the Invesco Real Assets ESG ETF, ticker symbol IVRA. How does this relationship work exactly in terms of what you provide for issuers like Invesco? How Fidelity comes into the picture here in terms of being the one that actually powers the technology that runs these kinds of strategies?
Absolutely. Now, our goal is we want to be where active ETFs are thought of from not only in manufacturing for our own products, not only from the licensing, which I'll speak about in a second, to third parties, but also our platforms, our distribution, our name, our brand, our execution capabilities. I think I've said on this podcast before, 12% of all U.S. listed ETFs are either traded or custody at Fidelity. So we're committed to making that client experience the best possible with tools, webinars, information, execution, our zero commission for U.S. stocks and ETFs. So we want to make ETFs active synonymous with Fidelity. So we've talked about so far in this program today about our own products, but we're taking the same methodology, the technology that we use to manufacture our active equity ETFs, and we're licensing that to other third-party managers. Once again, how to partner with the industry, how to make the industry really grow as a whole and have Fidelity known as the place where active ETFs are traded and informed for our clients. So we're very pleased with the partnership so far with Goldman and Invesco. As you mentioned, Invesco rolled their two first products with our technology out later in December. We're having significant conversations with, you know, dozens more. Don't know how many will come to contract, but I think the fact that we bring brand, platform, distribution, execution, and just the quality that Fidelity is known for really makes our offering an interesting value proposition for other third-party managers. What we're providing is we're providing the technology, the optimizer, the machine that creates these proxy baskets. It's the same one that we use ourselves. We have it, you know, installed into a cloud-based interface with which it protects non-public information from ourselves and from our partners, mm-hmm. and allows them to use that technology to run their own active equity ETFs. They're branded, in using Invesco as a case, it's an Invesco branded ETF with an Invesco board and Invesco portfolio manager. We're just the machine behind it. So we're excited to be able to offer that. We're excited to be able to partner with the best in the industry. And we're excited about being able to bring clients, not only our own, but the industry, you know, the best of Fidelity in terms of execution, tools, web information, and these fantastic managers coming to market.
Yeah, sure. And then moving over to your ETF business at Fidelity, I know that you're in the process of rolling out additional funds using this same exact approach here. Would you be able to talk about the new strategies that you're launching? I think they're going to be available for trading on the 4th of February, correct?
Correct. So the effective date is January 26th, the first day of trading, or an executable product for our clients will be February 4th. And those four products are going to be the Fidelity Magellan, real estate, our growth opportunities, as well as a SMID, which is a blend of small cap and mid cap. So we're excited to be able to offer, you know, these four strategies to our clients. Obviously, Magellan brings, you know, the heritage and brand associated with, you know, with excellence. For our clients, the SMID is the first real product in the marketplace that's going to have, you know, any exposure to small cap equity in an active wrapper. Growth opportunities has been a very successful product for ours, for us, for many years in terms of performance. And real estate is obviously a very, you know, vibrant and important segment of the industry that people might want to invest in to diversify their portfolios.
Definitely very exciting launches there, and definitely a huge diversifier in terms of what you've got out there also. And then keeping this high level, but do you have some idea of additional product launches in the future also, or is this going to be it for a while?
I think you're going to see Fidelity continuing to be innovative, bringing products that our clients want. I'm not at liberty to speak about those, but, you know, we do have a vibrant pipeline of ideas of how to solve our clients' needs through either active equity, active fixed income, smart beta. You know, we are focused on how to bring the best of Fidelity. So innovation is one of the three pillars. We always talk about choice, value, and innovation. And innovation is really new products in a lot of ways. So we do have an extensive pipeline of ideas. They're always driven by needs and desires from our clients, and we'll match those up and bring what we can to market, you know, in a manner that makes sense. But you know, we're committed to the space, and we really want to be the leader of where active equity ETFs are traded.
Sure. Beyond having to comb SEC filings, for people that would like to stay abreast of everything going on at Fidelity, particularly in this space, or to research this stuff further, where would you recommend they start that process?
Obviously, you know, Fidelity.com is a great resource, not only just for our products, but other products that create on our platform. We're you know, believers in open architecture and want to bring to our clients the best of the industry. So Fidelity.com is the most logical place to go.
Nice. And then there's a way to find more about these new active products there specifically.
Correct.
Yeah. And then I guess because we're going to be rolling this out 2 days after the Super Bowl, Chiefs or Bucks?
Well, yeah, I'm a Boston-based company. And it's amazing of how the Boston based fans have moved on to Tampa Bay. I am born and raised in San Francisco, so my Niners are not in it.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady did grow up in my hometown 2 miles from my house. So if I have to pull for one, I'll probably pull for Tom and the Buccaneers, which is probably not that different than, you know, a lot of my Boston based colleagues.
Nice. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people are pulling for Brady to get one more. So that'll be cool to see if it actually happens. And we'll see if I guess you're not making an actual prediction here. So,
you know, in my role, you know, we don't predict the future results.
It's good that you can apply that beyond just investing.
Exactly right.
Anyway, Greg, I want to thank you. This is great as always. And look forward to being able to speak again as we track the development of these new and really innovative and exciting products.
I appreciate the time to speak to your audience, and anytime, I'm happy to be back on.
For disclosures, Greg Friedman doesn't have positions in any of the funds discussed in today's show. I, Jonathan Liss, also don't have positions in any of the funds discussed in today's show. If you've been enjoying Let's Talk ETFs, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. And if you find this podcast useful, please consider leaving a review on one of those platforms so that other investors can discover it. You can also find this podcast on SeekingAlpha.com by typing Let's Talk ETFs into the search bar at the top of the site.